Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Thanks to everybody for joining us, by the way. Zach Showers, Greg Wetzel, and Kevin Hurd to preview our high school football games. Week 10 is upon us. For the Nittany Lion football team, Week 8. Iowa here Saturday, Mark Morehouse. Cedar Rapids Gazette in just a few moments. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day. The Red Sox get it done at Fenway.
Here it is. Swinging a looper to right field. Sinking fast. It gets down for a base hit. Mookie scores. Here comes Benny. He scores too. On to third. Pierce. 4-2 Red Sox.
Joe Castiglione with the call on the Red Sox radio network as the Red Sox beat the Dodgers in Game 2 of the World Series. 4-2 last night. Lead the series 2-0 with Game 3 at Chavez Ravine coming up tomorrow night at 8:09. It's going to be Walker Buehler on the mound tomorrow night for the Dodgers. In all likelihood, Rick Porcello will get the ball for the Red Sox in Game 3 of the World Series. All right, Penn State, Iowa coming up Saturday at Beaver Stadium. We'll see what the weather holds. We're always checking that forecast. Mark Morehouse joins us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Mark, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Thanks for having me on, you guys.
All right, let's get to the two tight end concept, which we've been talking a lot about today. Is this a case of them saying, you know, these are the two of the, you know, not only as blockers, but two of the better receivers, quote, we have, so that's why we're using them?
Yeah, absolutely. T.J. Hockenson, Noah Fant, obviously terrific athletes. And, it, you know, Brian Ferentz had that experience with the New England Patriots. He coached Aaron Hernandez and Gronk. I'm just going to say Gronk. I think everybody knows who he is. he had that experience. And if you look at how Iowa really has to kind of build itself, it can find tight ends. It has that deep tight end history. It's harder for Iowa to recruit and develop wide receivers. It just has been. And so Brian Ferentz is smart enough to say, okay, time to have a tight end offense. Now, they've gotten explosive plays. I think that's always going to be a struggle with an offense that really is deeply rooted in tight ends. I mean, if you look, Iowa runs a lot of 12 personnel. Maybe 40% of the time, at least 40% of the time. Not a lot of teams in the NCAA do that. I think the kind of the pace is like 13%. Mm-hmm. So Iowa is a very unique challenge that way, and it has the athletes to really make defenses hurt if they can't carry the tight end through the route.
If you have a veteran quarterback, part of that is that from year to year, the hope is and the expectation is they're going to get better just through experience. Where's Nate Stanley better?
Well, this year there's a huge difference in third down. And part of the, I think part of coming through in third down is patience and being able to take a hit to make a play. You know, he's 6'5", 242. He can take a hit to make a play, and he stands in the pocket tall, and he doesn't bail out very often. So his third down, it's bad that Iowa needs it so much, probably, but he's come through there. Leads the Big Ten, 45 completions on third down, 715 yards, 5 TDs, 1 interception, QB rating 181. All good stuff. All good stuff. I mean, that's really coming through. Part of it is kind of, I think, propping up a running game that is not quite to standard. I think the Iowa's offensive line is there. I think it's maybe not a classic Iowa offensive line, but it's getting there. Running back is kind of a, you know, they. I don't want to say deficit. I think the running backs are giving them what they need. The number one guy, Avery Kelly Martin's had a hard time staying healthy.
Yeah.
So the running game isn't quite what it needs to be. But you know, they're leaning on Stanley, and he's coming through more often than he's not.
Yeah, he's only been sacked 6 times this year. Just the you know, you talk about what they get out of the running game, but they're keeping him upright.
Absolutely, and that is a huge, actually a great number to go off. Huge improvement there for the Hawkeyes. It's been a couple of years where they were in the 30s in sacks. Even in 2015 when they went to the Rose Bowl, went 12-0 in the regular season, they gave up 30 sacks that year. And I think the next year after that, or maybe 2 years after that, it was right around 30. I think it was 25 last year. This year they're tracking on 15, and that is a huge improvement. And a lot of that is the offensive line. A lot of that is Stanley.
And no question, but no, it has to be both in combination. He has to make, you know, if he has to make a quick read or throw the ball away, he can do that. Defensively, what has the defensive front meant as a domino effect for the back seven?
Great observation. I mean, both Iowa and Penn State are good against the quarterback. I kind of looked up the sack numbers. Those three defensive ends that Penn State has, Miller, Gross, Matos, and Tony, are terrific. And Iowa can match that up. I think Iowa has the best 12th man in the country in A.J. Epineza, sophomore defensive end. I'm not sure where he sits in the Big Ten in sacks. I want to say he's in the top 10. He is a marvel when it comes to getting the quarterback.
Right.
He's a guy. They have a speed rush unit where they put two defensive ends in a tackle and rush Epineza and Anthony Nelson on the outside. 6'5", 6'7", 285, 275. They're really good at getting the quarterback. They're fun to watch. I expect Penn State to combat that with some quick decisions. And obviously, you guys know Trace McSorley is capable of dealing with that menu.
Right. What about Parker Hesse? He's had a lot of run this week, but he should have a lot of run anyway. I've always really liked Parker Hesse as a player. Where has he made his strides where he's even better now?
Read and diagnose. I mean, he really, last week against Maryland, Maryland was a different prep for Iowa. Iowa hadn't faced Maryland since 2015. And, they obviously had coaching changes, and Matt Canada's an offensive wizard. Maryland's been getting off, getting its yards and getting going with the zone read run and a lot of jet sweeps. Last week, Hesse just kind of read and diagnosed and came up with three tackles for loss. And so, extremely cerebral player. Totally underrated athlete. People are going to look at him. He's maybe 6'3 and a half, maybe 6'4. Undersized. He's up to 260 now, and it's been a big build for him.
Right.
I think part of the skepticism comes from Iowa fan base. With Iowa kids, sometimes they don't give him a free pass. They're kind of skeptical all the way through. Hesse has really been a lot to this defense as far as leadership goes and as far as just being one of those guys who says the right stuff.
The secondary, a couple kids starting at corner, necessity in part because of injuries. But what about the safeties? Guys like Geno Stone, Hooker, Jake Gervais. What do they mean to quarterbacking back there? What Iowa does?
A lot. The safety play this year has really climbed the ladder. Imani Hooker has calmed any fires there, and he's actually been splitting time at outside linebacker last few weeks. And Nick Neiman went down with a knee injury against Wisconsin. He's kind of become the box outside linebacker, if that can be a thing.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yes, it does.
6'4", 235, and when it's 12 personnel or 22 personnel, he's going to be in there. When it's 11 personnel, which I think is what a lot of Penn State's going to be, you're going to see a lot of Imani Hooker at outside linebacker and a lot of Geno Stone at strong safety. So Iowa has really changed stripes on defense this year. I think the coaches took a long view of the schedule in the summer, and they saw a whole bunch of spread offenses on the back side of the schedule. And so they created these ways where they can morph from a sluggy sort of four down lineman. Stop the run first type of defense into one that can defend the spread a little bit better. And huge key to that has been safety play.
For Iowa, the one game they've lost, I almost feel like they, quote, lost the game, Mark, because of the punt that hit the kid in the ankle, and all of a sudden now it's a 10-yard drive, and then Hornibrook makes a drive at the end of the game. But overall, where's the confidence of this program right now? Because they have been stringing together some nice wins, and defensively they've only faced 104 plays the last two games, including 39 against Maryland.
Yeah, really controlling the running game is really plays, I think. Iowa's defense, one of the things that I always hear about Phil Parker, the defensive coordinator, every year is where Iowa sits in the conference as far as defending big plays. And to me, that this year it's really come through. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but that's been a premium for Iowa's defense for a long, long time. And I look at the numbers that Penn State has. It's going to be a big deal in this game. Iowa really has to keep Penn State in front of them. I don't know where Juwan Johnson sits as far as health goes this week. I think the tight end development is, I think that could come through and maybe be a wrinkle for Penn State this week. But, just stealing a possession here or there, getting the three and outs. And I think we're seeing the real value of a pass rush now. I think the pass rush has really been a big deal for Iowa this year. As far as big plays, wait a minute, that's offense. As far as defending big plays goes, Iowa, second in the Big Ten, 66 plays of 10 yards or more. That keeps Iowa in games, I think.
No question. Well, Mark, you brought value to the show. We appreciate it very much. Thanks for the time. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Remember last year when we had the holiday party?
Great time last year.
Remember what one of the key ingredients of the night was?
Oh, that's right. Shikellamy had a game that night.
God, we had fun.
Yeah, but you told Suit on more than one occasion, just swing by, have one real quick before you go to the game, and you'll be there to set up in plenty of time. And he's like, no, I got preparation to do. I got to set up.
Then I listen to the game. It's not like you just used two rosters. I'm concerned. Okay. Next half hour, we'll talk a little bit about hockey. But I think there's certain elements, for example, that have been really important this year with Iowa football. One is Nate Stanley is better. Now, is he exponentially better? No, but he's better. He still is prone to the big mistake. Still has that issue. He uses his tight ends really well. And that offensive line has done a great job. He's only been sacked 6 times all season. They're 49% overall on third down. They're 42% when it's third down and 4 or better. That's pretty good. That's good football right there. The defensive front's really good. They have also, like Penn State has done for the last few years, incorporate on second and obvious or third and obvious, the 4 defensive end package. And they've utilized it well. Their pass rush has been good. Really good, as a matter of fact. And they've been able to help out. Their linebackers are okay. That defensive front really has helped out the linebackers. It's also helped out their secondary because they've been starting 2 true freshmen at corner. So that does, that front 4 has made a difference in what they do. Now, have they faced a quarterback yet like Trace McSorley? No. In fact, the quarterbacks they have faced so far don't even remotely fall into that category. Like, the quarterbacks they've faced so far might not be second team here. I'm just telling you like it is. Not trying to sugarcoat it at all.
So I have a question for you on the defense. So we go back to the Ohio State game, and that was one of the big talking points was the defense pretty much wore out with those 2 scoring drives that Ohio State had late to win the game.
Right.
So what was the grand total of Indiana snaps on offense? Did they hit, was it 99, 100?
100.
Okay, so 100 even. The one thing I really haven't heard post-game last week and earlier this week is whether our Penn State defense was tired or not, despite being out on the field for 100 snaps. Any vibe that you got post-game?
Well, this time they weren't. This time they were not tired at the end of the game. That was the odd thing about it. They were not. I think at the end of the Ohio State game, yes, they were tired. At the end of the Michigan State game, to a point, yeah. But this time, no. Remember, you know, now mentally they made a big mistake. And that was on the touchdown that Indiana got. Penn State jumps offside. It's a free play for Indiana. And some guys gave up on the play. You can't do that. You cannot do that. And that's, to me, that's the part right there. That you can't, that part you can't do. Hey, you got to play it all the way through. And I think that is something where, man, that's not fatigue. They just weren't in the right position. The reason they weren't in the right position was because, oh, okay, there's a penalty marker in the play. That's youth. You got to play that thing out. So, no, I got no sense at all. None of fatigue. And I think it's one of the reasons why you saw Shaka Toney and Yetur Gross-Matos get sacks at the end of the game. They weren't tired. So the other games, yeah, I would talk about that. This time I would not. Nope. Just wouldn't. It's interesting because Iowa runs a lot of plays. You know, we talk about the third down conversions. And Iowa's done a great job in third down conversions, but Sean, I'll be honest with you, they're taking three downs to get the conversion. And so, you know, so if you can get this team behind the chains, that then becomes a critical factor in winning the game.
But I don't think of them as a NASCAR offense like what Billy ran earlier this decade. It's more of a methodical type pace.
They huddle. They huddle up. And they take their time going about their business. Now, can they run a two-minute offense? Of course they can. But they don't run a two-minute offense until there's 2 minutes left. And, you know, I mean, they want to establish the run. You know, Stanley's County, look, it was really windy on Saturday. And with high winds, you want to run the ball more, you're not going to throw the balls often. And Nate Stanley only had 86 yards passing because that's all they needed from him on Saturday. It was 86 yards passing. In fact, me watching the Maryland tape for that part, the passing part, is in some respects worthless because they weren't throwing the football. Even though it was a beautiful sunny day, there's such high wind they couldn't really throw it. But look, they'll go, you know, they'll go three wide set. They'll run some bubble screens like the out the Easley and people like that. You know, they'll run one tight end, sometimes two. And he's got to play. They don't run two tight ends the entire time. They'll go three wides with a running back. Marcet, Brandon Smith, Nick Easley. You know, they'll go two bunch sets. Run jet sweeps off of it. So, I mean, they can do all those things.
I know this has been brought up at least once this season, since we know we have rain expected in the forecast on Saturday. Do you think, James, this week, as they've been going through practice, have they been dunking the footballs? We expect a lot of rain on Saturday?
They don't do that till Thursday and Friday anyway. They don't do that during the week. You've got to go through your base stuff right away as to what you want to do. And plus, for all we know, the rain stops during the game. I mean, you don't know. So you do some of that. That mostly affects the kickers, the returners, things like that. Ball's wet, the ball's wet. But, yeah, they'll do some of that. They always prepare for it, but they haven't done any of that this week. They don't usually wait in that until Thursday or Friday to take care of it. I'll tell you one thing, though. Always remember this. You get into a wet weather game, you want the ball first. Because you want to score first. Why? Because field condition-wise, in the rain, when's the field at its best? At the beginning.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, tonight, Miami and the Texans. Will be the game this evening. And that'll be at 8:20 on Fox. And yes, I do believe that Joe Buck is doing that game tonight. Well, World Series last two nights and Thursday Night Football tonight with the Texans and the Dolphins. That is this evening. Now, do we have that game tonight?
We sure do. Yeah, we'll have a little preview of it before 5, and our airtime tonight will be at 8.
Okay.
Yep.
Very nice.
You got it.
Perfect.
Of course, first things first, Coach's Show from Annie Brothers. You and James.
Yeah. Jeff Cook, the men's soccer coach, first, then James after that. And they have to go over to the Eberle dinner after that. Several emails here. Is there a way we can get a special Shikellamy basketball game at December 5th for charity?
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
I think.
Yeah.
It's all about the cause.
And for you and me, we know what that cause is.
That cause. Yeah, right.
All right, let's talk. Look, it feels cold enough out there. I can tell you in the practice field it's been cold enough. The wind has been. So I'm out there last night with a winter coat on. Okay? And I got the hood up and the whole deal. So last night I'm fine. I'm Captain Toasty there. I'm doing pretty well. And I am so glad I brought that coat because if I didn't have that coat, I would have felt the way I did on Tuesday night. Tuesday, I froze. Like, this is bad out here. And I had on what I thought was a medium coat, like medium warmth. It was not enough. There's so much wind out there, it's unreal. All right, so it's cold enough to feel like it's hockey season. It is hockey season. The Pens play at Calgary tonight. And Sidney Crosby's coming off a goal at Edmonton for the ages. It was incredible. If it happened in the playoffs, I think people would still be yelling and screaming about it. But Bob Grove joins us. Bob, how are you? Great to have you with us.
Steve, I'm doing great. It's great to be on with you as always.
All right. I got to get to Sid's goal the other night. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, obviously, we're privileged to see a lot of great things happen. And if that happened in the Stanley Cup playoff, if that happened in the Stanley Cup final, it would be all the rage.
But when you watch that, tell us about the skill sets on display that make something like that happen for him.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it has been the talk of Pittsburgh, and that's not easy to do when it's Sidney Crosby because he's had so many memorable goals that people have their own lists, but that's what everybody's been talking about for the last 2 days here for sure. So, you know, first of all, I would start with what makes a goal like that possible. Number one, it's confidence. Because, you know, it looked to me like he had made up his mind he wasn't giving the puck up. He had some passing options, and he just said, I got this, more or less. And then it's his skating ability. I mean, his ability to wheel out of the corner like that, turn, and then you know, make a one-on-one move against a forward. So, you know, that he saw an opening, and then he executed it. So it's obviously it's great, you know, hand eye and all that other kind of stuff. But you have to have confidence. You have to have imagination, right? This isn't your stock play. This is something you have to say, here's what I see, I think I might be able to do, have the confidence to execute it, and then you go out and you do it. And then of course once he gets one on one with the goaltender, no surprise that he goes to his backhand. You know, Sid's one of the few NHL players who consistently go to the backhand, and he scores a lot of goals from the backhand. He has a lot of confidence in it because he doesn't use a big curve in his blade. He's able to get that shot off. So it's kind of all of those things, you know, all wrapped up into one.
Because I've talked about this a lot. It was funny because I brought this up, and it was before a game, and we're outside the Jordan Center. Jack Hamm and I and Derek Williams do this show. Pregame show before we go on and do the game broadcast. And I was talking about an area that makes Trace McSorley really special is that he's one of those guys that really can ad-lib plays. And I was talking about, to me, some of the really great ones. Sports is ad-lib in so many ways. You can plan out all you want, but sports to me is the great ones are the ones that take the ad-lib and they do something special with it. This guy over there rolls his eyes. I'm like going, oh, what do you think? It's all play calling sport?
I absolutely agree. It's absolutely. I mean, so, you know, for me, when I think of a quarterback doing that, right, I think, you know, which of them see an opportunity to run with the ball? And say, I'm just going to, you know, the rush is on, but instead of peeling back, I'm going to take off this way because I can make it happen. Or when they roll out, you know what, how about the imagination? And not only he has, but as you know, once a play is broken in football, now as a receiver, what do you have to do? You have to forget about what you were supposed to be doing in the route you're supposed to be running. It's over.
Right.
You have to find a way to get yourself open again, and you know, so the quarterback's ability to see that guy and all that. So I absolutely agree, and that's one of the things we love about hockey.
Yes,
because unlike much of football, you know, yes, there are some, you know, you do kind of the same things a lot of times in hockey games, but in general, the whole thing is kind of ad lib.
Sure,
right?
It is. Absolutely. That's why to me the greatest hockey players are the ones that have the greatest imaginations. And you're right. I'm watching the Crosby play. The first thing, and again, I saw the highlight. I didn't see it live. Right? I'm watching the highlight, and when the highlight's about maybe a fifth of the way through, I said to myself, he has no way he's giving that puck up.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, and so what that gets back to is the bottom line of the whole night, not just his goal, but the entire night, was you had all this discussion for 2 days in the hockey world, which gets revisited every year. Who's the greatest player in the game? You know, is it Austin Matthews? Is it Connor McDavid? Is it still Sidney Crosby? And this was a big debate in Canada, and Mike Babcock weighed in, and, you know, because Austin Matthews is his own guy in Toronto, and he said, look, it's not even a debate.
Right.
Look at what Crosby's done in his career, what he's won. So until these guys, I'm just paraphrasing what he said. Until these guys win, like he's won at every level, Olympics, Stanley Cups, et cetera, it's not even a debate. And so was that just another game for Sidney Crosby against Connor McDavid?
No.
It was not. He gets his first two goals. He wins 16 of 20 faceoffs. It was the whole package was on display from Sid, and you just love to see that kind of reaction.
All right, so how do you feel about the team early on? What have they shown you, pro and con?
It's a mixed bag, to be honest with you. The Penguins are one of only a handful of teams that have only been beaten once in regulation. Now, there's only one team that's played fewer games than them. That's New Jersey. The Penguins have only played 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
So a win tonight could put them in first place, and you'd be saying, well, everything's good, right? Well, not really, because you give the Penguins all the credit in the world for winning, like they've won. But the way they're doing it raises some questions. Number one, they've led the league 3 years running in shots on goal per game. They're way off that pace, They don't have the puck as much this year, so they've lacked in possession. Even in the Edmonton game the other night, their forecheck, non-existent.
Right.
So they're giving up way too many shots, like 34 a night. That's really not sustainable. Their special teams, no, their penalty kill struggled against Edmonton, gave up 2. But generally speaking, their special teams have been very good. So that's much like last year on the power play side, but their penalty kill's been improved. And their bottom six have not, they came through against Edmonton. Hornquist got his first 2 goals of the season. Colin got his first 2 points. But for me, through 7 games, their bottom six hasn't been productive. They have some guys that aren't carrying their weight on the production side. Some of their defensemen have been so. Rikola, the Finnish guy who started so great, has not looked as good. It doesn't look like he's even playing tonight. Jack Johnson started pretty good. He hasn't been good for 2 of the last 3 games.
Right.
So it's been an uneven performance, Steve.
I think that's fair. Now let me ask you a big picture question, and that deals with the sport of hockey as it is. Almost every sport has done whatever they can to get more offense into it. Right? Whether it's more goals, more baskets, more touchdowns, they're trying to get – every sport is trying to tweak the rules in such a way where, yeah, you can still play defense, but leagues want to see more scoring. So do we have to take a different viewpoint on defense in hockey and apply it with the current rules and not use an older standard?
Sure. I think you have to do that in most sports as they evolve. Being a receiver in football is not what it was, 20 years ago exactly, I would say. And in hockey, like if you're a defender, number one, you can't clutch and grab like you used to.
Yep.
Heck, you can't even put your stick in a guy's midsection. Forget if you just barely touch him. You don't really tug him, and you don't pull him down. It doesn't even matter right now. If you take your hand off your stick and leave it in a guy's midsection or something, you're gone.
You're in the box.
If you bring your stick down on his to disrupt his ability to move the puck or get a puck, and you break his stick, you're in the box. And then you just start with the whole speed of the game and how fast these guys come at you, which is so much faster before. So it's very, very difficult to defend well if you're gonna put yourself in a position where you're also able to support your teammates. In other words, if you're necessarily not going to hang back, but you're going to keep a good gap between you and the opposing forward so that if there's a loose puck, you can get to it and get it to a teammate and support him that way. That's how you want your defensemen to play. Even the guys who don't have great skill sets, you want them to be able to get it to the people who do. But you can't if you're laying back, so you can't really do that. You can't lay back and give people a time to build up speed through the neutral zone because the game is played at such a pace. But the lack of being able to be so physical with guys is really a big, big deal right now for a defenseman.
How do you feel about the Penguins' lines to this point? Do you think they have decent line depth?
Well, as I said, the bottom six has got to do a better job of producing it at a more regular pace, and
yeah.
They've got good depth. But for me, if you say are most of these guys sort of firing on all cylinders where you'd expect, I'd say absolutely not. Derek Brassard has been very slow out of the gate. He looked great in the preseason. He's played a couple of games on Crosby's left wing. That didn't work out, so they ended that experiment. He just picked up his first assist the other night in Edmonton. Matt Cullen is really, even though he got 2 points the other night, he's really not influenced games. Hornquist was off to a slow start. Looks like Daniel Sprong's finally going to be a healthy scratch tonight. Dominic Simone hasn't played well. Brian Rust has really been struggling. Seriously, if you look at the group of 12 forwards who spent most of the time, here's what my summary would be. The stars have been really pretty good.
Yep.
and most, not all, of the support guys really haven't carried their weight. And that gets back to that whole team performance that I talked about. The Penguins have had some issues for sure, but when I look back at the games they've won, it's really because it's either Matt Murray being spectacular in Toronto and stopping 38 shots, or Sidney Crosby being spectacular in Edmonton. It's kind of like in the games they won, they had their big guys came up with big performances, and that's why they won.
Right. They got Calgary tonight at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome coming up this evening. Flames are 5-4-0 in the season. They were beaten by Montreal 3-2 the other night. And their captain, Mark Giordano, says, hey, look, you can't keep chasing games. I mean, because they thought it was a really disappointing loss. What's important tonight against this team?
Well, for the Penguins, it's slowing down, Goudreau and Monahan, who play together on their top line. You know, yep. Johnny Goudreau is one of their leading scorers, and Monahan is just a terrific, terrific player. And so I think, again, saying what I said about the Penguins' lack of puck possession,
yep.
They need to get on those guys and stay on them. It looks like Travis Hamonic might be coming back. He's an important defender for them. So for the Penguins, I would say they've been getting some pretty good starts on the road. You know, they don't have any regulation losses on the road. So I think for the Penguins, they've got to get back. So they've got to do all that stuff against Calgary, but they've got to rediscover their forecheck. They've got to have the puck more often than they have it right now, and that means better puck support. They really haven't done a good job of that this year so far. So you can't rely on the brilliance of your stars as many as they have each and every night. You got to get back to playing a game where you're a little bit more in control of the flow of the game.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Bob. Appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you again. It's always great talking hockey with you.
Same here. Thanks.
Bob Grobe. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Is there extra security at Brewers Outlet for tomorrow?
Cannot wait. It's going to be a blast. Talked with your brother Kevin this morning. Actually, we were on the phone for about 20 minutes. He is pumped. He is excited. He'll be on the road tomorrow morning, O-Dark 30. Late morning arrival in the valley. He and his lovely bride, he thinks they're going to be able to swing back to the hotel for a while in between the Brewers Outlet visit and his time here at the station at 3. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I think
once he gets there, we may have to pry him out of there. But yeah, I know Kevin. I know Kevin. Claire can't wait. Corey can't wait. I just got a text again from Corey a little while ago. So yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll see if we can shoot a little video. I'm going to stop by too. So I'll see if we can shoot a little video and put it on our Steve Jones Show Facebook.
Oh my goodness.
He was salivating at the pickle bar.
Well, that's not going to sell anything. People are going, ugh. So what's he doing? No. It'll be great to have him there. Is it a day where, like, you know who is really, really busy and won't be in?
What, you mean suit?
Yeah.
He may be in for a while tomorrow, I would think.
I mean, he's essentially, I haven't talked to Roger about this, but essentially the dude's doing banker's hours. I mean,
But hopefully Sue will be in the building, because I know your brother would like to meet him. Well, he'd like to meet everybody here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he's going to have a blast. This is a big, big deal to him.
Well, we can't wait to have him. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. No, he's looking forward to seeing you, meeting everybody in the station, most everybody. And,
well, I know you're going to set him up with a good spot at the game on Saturday. They're going to be high and dry. That's going to be fun for them as well. So,
yeah, that'll be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be great. So he's in tomorrow. Now, is he going to do the whole show tomorrow?
Whole shebang. The whole kit and caboodle. Why not?
Yeah. Wow.
Go big or go home.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. And on WKOK.com.